started last week on the definition of what scriptures are. Tried to lay a little bit of groundwork on what the class was going to be like, but again, invite your comments. If I don't explain something you do not understand, let me know, and I'll try to rephrase it in such a way where we can kind of understand that, because there's a lot in this I do not understand. And as I study this, so invite your participation in it. We're going to look at the definitions basically on scriptures, even though the Old and New Testament, from Strong's to Vines, carries basically the same meaning overall, but it's just kind of words or different words are used to describe the meaning of it. And we're going to look at some Old Testament scriptures. As Strong's states that the meaning of scriptures in the Old Testament, it means to record something written, writing, a book, a register, inscribed, or inscription, or a collection of writings. And so you can see they basically mean the same thing, but sometimes you'll have in one verse or two verses, one verse will say a book and the next same verse will say the writings. But it's the same thing, you can understand on that. But also you're going to have in this that we're going to look at some verses that even though they're recorded in this, it's still not as if they're not recorded. It's something that God has access to, but they're referred to as writings in God. God has writings, but not so recorded in this, but certain things. We're going to look at that also. I'm just doing it for the definition, okay, when you look at that. We looked last week at Exodus chapter 24, verse 12. Then the Lord said to Moses, come up to me on the mountain and be there, and I will give you tablets of stone and the law and commandments which I have written. Again, this idea that they were written, he said that you may teach them those things that were wrote. In Exodus chapter 31, in verse 18, I think we looked at this verse 2, when it says, and when he had made an end of speaking with him on Mount Sinai, he gave Moses two tablets of the testimony, tablets of stone written with the finger of God. And so here he has reference to these things that were wrote there were the tablets of testimony. And you can kind of understand this better when you look at Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 26, when it talks about this testimony, that it's worded just a little bit different in the book of Deuteronomy 31 and verse 26. There it says, take this book of the law, put it beside the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, that he may be there as a witness. So the purpose of those tablets of stone, those things were written on, was to be a witness of what God had said and been revealed to them, against their sin. Just like the law that we have today, it's a witness against us. Things that we have recorded for, that's written on our behalf, is going to be a witness against us in the day of judgment, either for or against, one way or the other. And so we have those things, if you will, recorded. When you look at Exodus chapter 17 and verse 14, you have another verse there that deals with this. And this is when the battle with the Amalekites was going on and Moses' hands had to be steady. In verse 14, then the Lord said to Moses, write this for a memorial in the book and recount it in the hearing of Joshua. Again, just things that were wrote down. No commandments or law, but things that would be wrote down. They would be as a memorial. They would be read in the hearing of Joshua and for others, just for their benefit of what great deliverance that God had given them or had taken place. In Daniel chapter 9, in verse 2, here Daniel says, in the first year of his reign, that is Darius, verse 1, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of years specified by the word of the Lord through Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem. So that's I understood by the books. I'm not sure exactly what reference he's having to, but he does have reference to the book of Jeremiah. And maybe even that too of the old, the Old Testament laws to some degree. But when you look back at Jeremiah, when Daniel said, I understood by the books of Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 25 in verse 11, if we were reading it today, this is what we'd be reading from that Daniel was speaking about when he says in 25 and verse 11, and the whole land shall be a desolation and astonishment, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. Daniel said, I was reading down what Jeremiah the prophet prophesied in chapter 29 of Jeremiah in verse 10. Jeremiah though says, for thus saith the Lord, after 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good works towards you. Again, Daniel said, I was reading from the prophet, from the books of Jeremiah. The idea of what Jeremiah had wrote in 2 Chronicles, chapter 36. Again, reference is made to this, beginning with verse 21. It says, I to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah until the land had enjoyed her Sabbath. As long as she lay dead, she kept the Sabbath to fulfill 70 years. And so when it talks about Daniel says, I was reading from the books, that which was wrote in the books, of what Jeremiah prophesied concerning Israel. And so he had access to what has already had been written through Jeremiah the prophet. When you turn back to Daniel chapter 9 and verse 11, when Daniel is talking about why Israel was taken into captivity, he says there, yes, all Israel has transgressed your law. Well, what would Daniel have been reading from? He would have been that of the law of Moses, where the penalty for disobedience was placed there upon them, and has departed so as not to obey your voice, therefore the curse and the oath written in the law of Moses. So Daniel was familiar with what was written in the law of Moses. He could say, you transgressed according to the oath and all that was written in the law of Moses. So is that which was written that Daniel could read, not only from Jeremiah the prophet, but also from these books. He understood what was written in the law of Moses. And if you wanted to read that, we'll not go through it for time constraint, but you can turn back to Leviticus chapter 26, verses 14 through 20, or Deuteronomy chapter 28. When you turn to Deuteronomy chapter 28, just briefly, turn back there, concerning this, the disobedience, that what was going to happen to them because of their disobedience was written in the law of Moses. This 70 years was even foretold, not the time-wise of the 70 years, but of the nation that they was going to be under captivity to. When he says in verse 49 of Deuteronomy chapter 28, the Lord will bring a nation against you from afar, from the ends of the earth, as swift as the eagle flies, a nation whose language you will not understand. He's talking about the Babylonians. So it was prophesied during the law of Moses and was written that Daniel could read. Same as we have access today to do. If we say, where we read about this, we could say, well, we can turn to the Deuteronomy chapter 28. Now, I'm not for sure if that's of what, you know, that Jeremiah, but whatever, he had access to something that was written concerning what was going to happen in the future because of disobedience to the nation of Israel. But you can read those there in Deuteronomy on that, for the blessings and curses that would come upon them. Back in Daniel chapter 9, verse 13. Again, this word that we're looking at, as it is written in the law of Moses, all this disaster has come upon us. So Daniel said it's written in the law of Moses, including himself, that all this disaster has come upon us. So it has reference to that which was written. It was something that recorded. It refers to a book or books. And you can see how the definitions would fit in all those, the things that we have looked at. So the fulfilling of God's truth was written in the law. And what proved it to be truth that was written in the law is when those things come to pass exactly as God had foretold through his prophets that they wrote down was going to come to pass. And so when you get into the New Testament, those prophecies that Larry's talked about, Donnie Love has talked about, when each one of those was fulfilled through Jesus Christ, that God, that was written in his book before it was revealed to man, come to pass, then it's truth. You know, as each one comes, that's truth. And so you have scripture already written that Daniel could read about the fate of Israel. In Deuteronomy chapter 10, and verse 21, and this is the verse that we looked at earlier. This is the only place in the Old Testament the word scripture is used. But I tell you what is noted in the scripture of truth. No one upholds me against thee except Michael, your prince. Some versions on this may read that the word inscribed. But I tell you what is inscribed in the scripture of truth. Some may read what is ordained in the scripture of truth. I'm not sure how your versions read. But the word noted here, scripture, means written or recorded. And the scripture it refers to as the scripture of what? Truth, which implies it's what? It's a true writing from the God of truth. And so it's inspired by the God of heaven. There are no other writings where these are said to be found, only in the scripture of truth of what is recorded here. It makes mention that the angel came down to make known what could be not known in any other way, and therefore was not found in any book to which man had access to. But when you look at this, like I say, when you look at scripture, it's not always having reference to that which is written down. I'm saying that's the way we have it today. Because this verse is not dealing with what was written in the scriptures, but what was written in God, by God, and is referred to as scripture, but not yet revealed. But when you look at the beginning of this, he's dealing with here something that's going to happen in the future, okay? He talks about that in verse 1. When he talks about, but the appointed time was long, and he understood the message and had understanding of the vision. So Daniel, this individual that appeared to him, he talks about, but the appointed time was long, and he understood the message and had understanding of the vision. And when you look at bear with me just a second. Verse 14. Now I have come to make you understand what will happen to your people in the latter days. For the vision refers to many days yet to come. But it's talking about what was going to take place and not yet been revealed to man. But that he is referred to as the scripture of truth, that which was written. Well, where was it written? It was not in a book at this time, but the idea that there was something written. It talks about the appointed time was long, meaning there was a great distance off. And they are described or written down as ordained in a book that's in the hands of God. God said there's going to be something that's going to happen in the future, that I've not yet revealed what's going to happen to Israel. But it's a surety, because God has it written down in his treasures, that it's going to come to pass. But their fate of what that was going to be was not yet recorded. So when you look at scriptures, it's not always referring sometimes that it's written down. When you look at in Revelations, and Donnie's touched upon it, the book of life, those names that were written in there, what's it having reference to? It's written, go ahead. But it's worded in such a way as if it's written down, okay? That's all this verse is meaning. The names is not a literal book that God has Lowell in it, or Barb in it, or Larry in it, or Donnie in it. But it has reference that as if he had a book that he wrote names in. But it's not revealed. But in such a way, that's all application that I'm making. The meaning, if you will, of this, that sometimes Scripture does not refer to that which is actually written down when the word is used. You understand what I'm saying on that? Okay? Again, these future events were not yet recorded. But sometimes God records future events that have not yet come to pass. When you turn to Deuteronomy, we look again at Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 49. When it talked about the nation of Babylon, he recorded what was going to take place when captivity took, even though years down the road. It had not yet taken place, but sometimes God reveals in Scripture what's going to take place in the future. But sometimes God does not reveal what's going to take place. But they're both referred to as what? Scripture. Okay? And so hopefully you can understand. Again, the decrees and purposes of God, which are sometimes signified by a book and things written in it, is so sure and certain that those things are going to come to pass, they're spoken of as if they are recorded. And so God is not, certain things are yet still that left unfulfilled. The judgment, which talks about the return of Christ. But some things are not recorded for our benefit. And again, these events are noted or marked or engraven in the eternal mind of God and their truth. And God's going to bring those things to pass, but they are in writing and in truth. They're written in God's book of decrees. That's what's going to happen. Therefore, the meaning of the word, as you can see. But we can see this in other ways too. When you turn to Deuteronomy chapter 32, again, concerning this idea that there's certain things that's in God's book that he has written down that's going to come to pass that's not yet been recorded by man, or by inspired writers. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 34, it says, "There is this not laid up in store with me, sealed up among my treasures?" And he says, "Vengeance is mine, and recompense. Their foot shall slip in due time, for the day of their calamity is at hand, and the things to come happen. And the things to come hastens upon them." In verse 30, talks about how could one chase 1,000 and two put the 10,000 to flight unless their rock had sold them. Again, he's dealing with Israel and their disobedience, okay? So he talks about in verse 34, "Is this not laid up in store for me of what I am going to do to them?" In other words, it's read as if almost it is kept in secret, it's sealed up, that only I know what is going to take place, this punishment that God's going to bring upon Israel. God's justice is your pledge to avenge the covenant broken by his people. But again, the time and manner only God knew. So it's almost as if it was wrote down, it's going to come to pass what's going to happen to them. And the surety of it, so it can be said that it's written down in Scripture. In Malachi chapter 3 and verse 16, you have a similar expression there of a text that's in Revelations. When in verse 16, "Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them, so a book of remembrance was written before him for those who feared the Lord. And who meditate on his name." Again, this idea that a book of remembrance was written. But it's something that was in the Lord's possession. He had a record of those who feared him and meditated upon him. Much like the wording of John in Revelations concerning the book of life. In Exodus chapter 32, you have different books that's referred to, if you will, like this. In Exodus 32, begin with verse 31. "Then Moses returned to the Lord and said, 'Oh, these people have committed a great sin, have made for themselves a god of gold. Yet now, if you will forgive their sins, but if not, I pray, blot me out of your book, which you have written. And the Lord said to Moses, whoever sinned against me, I will blot him out of my book. It's a book that's in God's possession, as if it's scripture, it's written. But it's the idea that it's not revealed. Psalms chapter 69. Verse 28. Let them be blotted out of the book of the living, and not be written with the righteous. Daniel chapter 12 and verse 1. At that time, Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. There shall be a time of trouble, such as never was once there was a nation, even to that time. And at that time your people shall be delivered, everyone who is found written in the book. Again, as if something was wrote in God's book that he has sealed. It's in his treasures. That's which things, some things are sealed up that only God knows. But it's referred to as if being written down on that. But when you turn to Esther, we have a verse there that's there. When we talk about that God has things written in a book concerning what you do, what I do, whose name is written there, whose name is not there. When you turn to the book of Esther, in Esther chapter 6, begin with verse 1. Concerning Mordecai. It says, that night the king could not sleep, so one was commanded to bring the book of the records of the Chronicles. And they were read before the king. It was found written that Mordecai had told of Bigthana and Teresh, two of the king's eunuchs, the doorkeeper, who had sought to lay hands on King Ahasuerus. Then the king said, what honor of dignity has been bestowed on Mordecai? So even records were kept by kings concerning individuals. Here a record was kept of Mordecai and the service that he done for the king. He said, bring the record book. Again, that meaning that we're looking for, that it was written in the record book what Mordecai done. And the king said, what honor has been bestowed upon him. And so reference again to God, that he has a book, that which is written. Psalms chapter 139. Again, you can see as if a book were written concerning when David is here speaking. Psalms 139, verse 16. He says, you saw my substance, yet unformed, and in your book they were all written. So David says something about, you saw me when I was not yet formed, my substance. And they were written in your book all about me. And so reference that something that is written, that God has access to, that his treasures. When you look at this verse, what do you think the significance of this verse would be to you as a scripture? Or what hope would it give you, or whatever? When you talk about, my frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret, skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance. Being yet unformed, in your book they were all written, the days fashioned for me when I was there, when as yet there were none of them.
So it seems like throughout this Sunday, he keeps talking about the fact that nothing is hid from God. There's nothing that can take place with us, nothing that will be secret with us that God doesn't know about.
I think that's right. When you think, you know, that God, who formed us, placed the eternal spirit in us, that, you know, there's nothing that's hidden from him that we think we can hide. And that scripture to me would prove, you know, that God knows the thoughts, he knows my intents, because that's what David said. He saw it. It was written in a book all about me. So God has a record of everyone that's ever lived on this earth. He knows everything about it. It's comfort, or, if you will, should give us comfort that God knows us. In that, it should cause us to be more obedient to Him. To strive to be obedient to Him, that when we face Him in judgment, we can face Him knowing that we put our trust in Him. Because there's nothing, if you will, hidden from Him. And that's kind of what the Old Testament, as far as the Word means and those scriptures. There's probably many more you could come up with. But trying to, when you look at that, and it refers to things that are written, scriptures, sometimes it's not always referring to something we have access to, okay, on that. Any thoughts on that? In the New Testament, it's defined as a document, a holy writ, or its contents, or a statement in it. And you can look these Greek words up, scripture, or scriptures, from the Greek word G-R-A-P-H-E, is the Greek word that defines the uses of the word in the New Testament. Strong's, again, in his definition of it, defines this word a document, a holy writ, or its contents, or a statement in it. Vines defines the word to mean to write, to graft, a drawing, a painting, then a writing of. And everywhere the word scripture or scriptures is used in the New Testament, it has this Greek word, this graphe, I guess, graphe, all place except one. Of all the scriptures that are used in the New Testament, it all is used with this Greek word except one place that we'll look at. But you can see the meaning of it when you look at John chapter 8 and verse 6. Talking about Christ. This they said, testing Him, that they may have something of which to accuse Him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground. Again, this idea of writing or to write. Luke chapter 1, verse 63. There you have reference to Zechariah when it says, and he asked for a writing tablet and wrote, saying, his name is John. And so they all marveled. The idea that what he wrote his son's name. His name shall be called John. It's to write. Mark chapter 15 and verse 26. And the inscription of his accusation was written above the king of the Jews. The idea of to write. Acts chapter 17 and verse 23. Paul says, as I was passing through and considering the object of your worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, therefore the one whom you worship without knowing Him, I proclaim to you. So it's an inscription that is there. Again, even in Revelations 1 and verse 3, that John there says, blessed is he who reads, and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keeps those things which are written. This idea that this Greek word has reference to a writing or a holy writ, something which it is wrote. The other Greek word that is used in only one place is in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. And I'm not going to deal with this a lot. It's for your study on that. But kind of show you what it's talking about here. When it says, and that from a childhood you have known the holy scriptures. And the Greek word for this is gramma. From where we get our word grammar. It's G-R-A-M-M-A. Donnie Larry may have a better definition or other things for someone else here. But it has reference to a sacred letter. The New Testament in Greek, instead of using the word Holy Scriptures, use it the sacred letter or the sacred letters. And that's how they word it. Vine's definition, a letter of the alphabet is used of the Holy Scripture. Then he says, for other uses of the word, go to letter. So when you go to letters, he says, denotes that which is traced or drawn, a picture, that which is written. And so you see the reference to it when you turn to Acts chapter 15 and verse 23 concerning the council there at Jerusalem, when he says, they wrote this letter by them, the apostles, the elders, and brothers. So it has reference there. Scripture there is called a letter there in Acts. Verse 30. So when they were sent off, they came to Antioch, and when they had gathered together, they delivered the letter. And from that letter, talking about verse 31, they read from that letter that was wrote. Chapter 23, verse 33 and 34. When they came to Caesarea and had delivered the letter to the governor, they presented Paul to him, and when the governor had read the letter, again, the Greek uses letter, the sacred letter, in place of scriptures in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 15. But he goes on to say, he defines a word of character. He goes on to describe this. It's a letter of the alphabet, much like the letters we have today. He says that's the way it's used in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 11. And Paul there makes the statement, see what large letters I have written to you. And he's not talking about an epistle, okay? He's dealing with words like ABC that we use to form its characters, that we use to form words. And Vine says there, it's the characters. And Paul says, look what large letters I have used to write to you. The formation of words, just like you spell your name. And he says that's what it has written as far as letters, that which forms letters or writings. And it's those letters he used to form the epistle that was sent to him, said, I'm writing to you with large letters, characters, okay? And that's kind of the difference as far as those two words. Anybody got come up with any better than that? But again, we're going to confine ours to this word, G-R-A-P-H-E, because that's had used about all in Scripture. We're going to look, and our time's about up, start next week. If you will, be looking at verses where the word Scripture is used in the New Testament in the plural. When I say the plural, it's either two or more verses, or as a whole. Sometimes it is the word Scripture is used in the New Testament as referring to all Scripture. And sometimes it's just used in the singular. Again, but when you look, a lot of times it's spoken in the Old Testament as that which someone spoke. But when you get to the New Testament, it's referred to as Scripture. Where it's referred to the word of the Lord came to so-and-so. But in the New Testament, it's referred to as Scripture, having reference that they spoke it, and it was after that wrote down. Okay? Any thoughts? Yes, sir.
That verse in 2 Timothy 3:16 says it best, I think.
And we looked at it again, all Scripture, we made reference to that which is, at that time, had already been written, which was being written during that time, and which was to be written in the future. When you look at in John, when he talks about Christ talking the promise of the Holy Spirit, he was going to reveal more to them. So you had, not all at that time Christ was on earth had been revealed, had been wrote down. But all that we have now is by the inspiration of God, every Scripture that we have. Anything else, anyone?